CliffCentral.com.
All right, let's get to Rich Mulholland. Good morning, Rich. How are you?
Top of the morning. I'm really good.
Excellent. I got a message from Rich yesterday. He said that there was a clip on CNN that he really wants to talk about. Shall we go straight into it?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, so this is the clip on CNN, and then we'll get Rich's comments afterwards. So it's a sports discussion, I think. There's an ESPN host who was fired over supremacist remark. And Clay Travis from Fox Sports Radio starts. There's a female host of CNN. There's another guy who comes in, who chimes in. And then there's this guy, Clay Travis. This is him now.
I think that's a bad move. I'm a First Amendment absolutist. I believe in only two things completely, the First Amendment and boobs. And so once they made the decision that they were
I just want to make sure I heard you correctly as a woman anchoring the show. Did you say, what did you say? You believe in the First Amendment and B-double-O-B-S?
Boobs. Two things that have only never let me down in this entire country's history, the First Amendment and boobs. So those are the only two things I believe in absolutely in the country. And so I don't think Jemele Hill should be fired, but I do think straight up that once you make the decision that you are going to let Kurt Schilling go, that you have to also make the decision that you're going to let Jemele Hill go. I think that's a bad decision. I think ESPN has made bad decisions that have led to 13 million subscribers bailing on the network. They've made bad decisions that have led to ratings collapsing. Jemele Hill's television show is collapsing. Ratings were down 20% last week over last year. I think that's why she's angry. I think that's why she went after Donald Trump. She's begging for ESPN to fire her so she can work somewhere else.
Okay. Okay. Keith, what do you think?
I'm astonished at almost everything I just heard. One of the things that, and Jemele's a personal friend, not just a colleague, but a personal friend. One of the things that Jemele's had to deal with her entire career, and many women who I'm friends with in this business and have been friends with in this business for a long time, is sexism, blatant sexism, comments about her appearance, comments about her racially, comments about her inability or perceived inability to be able to comment on sports because of her gender. So for somebody to come on CNN and to say something like, the only thing I believe in a discussion
I'm
about
just,
something.
I'm still there, too, and I just want to make sure I'm hearing you correctly.
Just,
B-O-O-Z-E or B-O-O-B-S? Because as a woman, I'm...
As in boobs. I believe completely in the First Amendment and in boobs. Those are the only two things I believe 100% in this country. And by the way, Jemele has absolutely nothing to do with her background
CNN,
at all. Did you notice that? He went straight to that.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I did go straight to that.
Why would you even say that live on national?
All right, so there it is.
I think that's a bad move.
Wow. What do you think of that, Rich?
So what I think is quite funny is people's reactions to it. There's people saying this is the single most sexist thing that anyone has ever said. I want to first of all get out here that saying that you like boobs is not sexist. It's a pure observation. I'm a straight male. I love boobs. In the morning, I kiss my wife good morning. I give her one on the lips and then one on each boob. You know, just I don't want to leave one out. You know,
it's a
beautiful thing. And it's not a bad thing. It's not sexist observing. Now, he didn't turn around to the anchor and say, you know, I believe in the First Amendment and you're great boobs. He didn't make it about her. He made a general statement. But what I think was genius and what I think people are missing is that Jemele Hill went on and said that Trump is the most ignorant, offensive president of my lifetime. He's a direct result of white supremacists. And then went on to say that he is a white supremacist who has surrounded himself with other white supremacists. The White House then got very upset about this and said, what is an ESPN anchor doing weighing in on these kind of things? He complained to ESPN and called for her to be fired. So this guy, Clay, comes on. And now it's important to note that Clay Travis is from Fox. So in American kind of television or broadcasting, Fox is basically your Republican radio or television station, and CNN is your Democrat. And so they have very, very different politics. And on that TV show, they're basically saying that they believe that Jemele Hill should have her, you know, rights to the First Amendment observed. So if she wants to get on there and talk about Trump being a white supremacist. That is entirely her right and privilege. Mm-hmm. So this guy comes on and he says, I believe in the First Amendment and boobs. Mm-hmm. And then they want to shut him down because how dare he have acknowledge his right to the First Amendment, which is free speech.
What he's really
when it
doing,
comes to saying something.
This is so clever. He's actually trapping them into their own round circular argument. He's forcing them to acknowledge that they aren't free speech people, and while they want to stand up for her free speech, they don't want to stand up for his.
Right, because it offends them.
Yeah.
Because saying somebody is a white supremacist is not offensive. Saying that you like boobs is, which is actually quite ridiculous, because one is a character attack on a human being, and the other is an observation and statement of fact.
So, in other words, these two on the CNN show have just proven that Clay Travis is smarter than them and that they're easily riled and they're sensitive and that they can be thrown off an argument. They can lose their minds about a comment like boobs because it offends them. Immediately they can be derailed and he wins the argument but just by bringing that in.
But he wins on another front as well. So first of all, he says this fairly often. This is like a bit of a catchphrase of his. And he has T-shirts that he sells and that say, I believe in the First Amendment and boobs. And all proceeds go to breast cancer awareness. Mm-hmm. And it's quite funny because he says he does it to intentionally rile left-wing liberals. Because on one side, they don't want to say boobs. But on the other side, they really want to help breast cancer. And he says he finds the irony amusing. And I've got to be honest, so do I. You can't have it both ways. We need to decide. Either we want to be about free speech or we're not. And either we want to say that, I mean, and we can disagree that he said it, but we cannot disagree that he should be allowed to say it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And so, in fact, my friend Craig Rodney, who originally posted, that was one of his big points. You know, he doesn't agree with it. He said he fundamentally disagrees with what the guy said, which even I kind of don't quite understand, but I get it. But he says he completely agrees with his right to say it. You know, yeah. Like you've got to be allowed to say these things, especially in a discussion around free speech.
Yeah, I don't know what this – to me, it's a storm in a teacup. I mean, if someone came onto my show and said that they – and by the way, the First Amendment is the free speech amendment, which means that you're allowed free expression. It almost is unnecessary, but it emphasizes the point to say I like boobs. These are the two things. Because what he's really doing is testing the First Amendment in front of everybody.
Right.
Yeah.
I came onto your show and did say I like boobs, and Mabs is there, and I have great respect for her. And I meant, you know, it's not an attack on a woman.
Yeah.
It's an observation.
But
I thought his choice was actually pretty smart in the way he did it. I don't think it went without thought.
But again, this exposes the stupidity of the left in so many ways. Whenever you bring up women's rights, they're all over it. And yes, clearly women's rights are hugely important, and there's sexism and there's the patriarchy and all this stuff. But then you point out the Middle East to them, and you point out a country like Saudi Arabia, and they don't think that that should be priority number one in a world where – or let's say women who have clitoridectomies in Somalia, that's not a big deal to them. But, you know, the glass ceiling at work is hugely offensive. And there's just no idea of – this false equivalence thing seems to be coming up this morning. Maybe it's a thing that we need to pay attention to. But there's an issue. Here's this one woman who talks about Donald Trump is a white supremacist. No offense caused to the left with that comment. Huge offense caused with boobs.
Right. And I think the one little thing that I'd almost want to leave us with this week is my personal challenge to people this week is – no matter what makes you angry, before you hit share, just do the slightest bit of research to find the context. Because when you look back at what this guy said, whether you disagree with how he said it, you can understand that what he's doing is proving a point about free speech and free expression. And with the tiniest bit of research, some of your outrage may have been less placed. However, with if you're not going to do that, I don't think you should be fueling the fire just because people you agree with are. You know, on the other side, Roman and Jonathan, I often will challenge them as well, even though they're slightly more politically aligned with me. in that I'll often challenge them because I feel that they just take everything on the flip side. This is not just liberals. This is anybody on the edges. Yeah, needs to stop and think before they share.
I got upset last night. I was watching Carte Blanche, which I try not to do because it just depresses me on a Sunday. But they do some really good work. And they had a story. I'm probably going to get into trouble for this, but let's talk about it anyway.
Okay.
So they interview this family where the mother and the father are blind. The mother is completely blind. The father has macular degeneration, so he can't see and she can't see. She also has a genetic condition where there's a 50% likelihood that if she has a child, the child will be completely deaf. And then she decides with her husband they're going to have three children. Two of the children are completely deaf. The third child can see and can hear perfectly.
Okay.
But Carte Blanche make this a story about inspiring people who are beating all odds. And I'm thinking, and I know this is not my place because I'm not involved in their decision whether or not to reproduce or not. But it would seem to me like it's a very irresponsible, very cruel thing to do to a child you haven't yet made, to decide to make them in the event that they might have a 50% chance of being totally deaf. It seems to me a cruel thing, an unnecessary thing for someone to do. And yet, the way it's presented on television, it's this inspiring story about this family. If you tell me, and I don't have a child, if you tell me there's a 50% chance that if you do have a child, Gareth, it's going to be born deaf or blind, I'm not going to do it. That's the responsible thing in my mind to do. It's presented on television as this thing that we should all be celebrating. Here's this family where the two parents are blind, the children are both deaf. It's insane.
Gareth, I'm fairly certain, though, if you ask the average blind person if they'd rather their parents shagged or not, I'm still pretty sure that most of them would want to be here, though.
No, I get that. But, Rich, it seems to me like if you knew that your kid was going to be born with some kind of major challenge in life, and you still go ahead and do it, and the kid doesn't have a say in this, by the way. You know, you make a child. You don't know. And the difficulties of raising a kid when you're blind, you're a blind couple, mm-hmm. That's already part one. The child is deaf, that's part two. You knew this before you had the kid is part three. Yeah. It just seems to me like it's a cruel thing to do. Am I wrong?
Am I so insensitive that I see this as a decision,
a responsibility and accountability decision?
Were they wealthy?
No.
Because I was wondering, you know, how you would feel. Who has a bigger challenge in life? A wealthy blind person or a normal poor person brought up in a squatter camp? Because if we don't want to have children based on the challenges they may face, then, you know, you have to be very careful. Like, at that point, when does it become that, well, then poor people, you know, well, they're going to have a really challenged life. Mm-hmm. Their parents are, you know, not doing well, maybe they shouldn't be allowed to have children. And that becomes a very tricky line.
But yeah, it's a gray area, because then what you're venturing into is some people are more allowed to have children than others.
Right.
But then who...
And that's super tricky.
Who is the person that gets to make the decision of who's allowed to versus others? Because that is not something you'll be able to control.
It's not me.
There's also levels to that. I mean, you can have two kids or whatever. Why having seven or eight kids?
I don't know, Ben, but...
See, because like there's levels to this debate too.
You know, this is such an interesting area to go because people get super sensitive, right? I mean, the one thing you always have a right to do, no matter what happens, is you have a right to breed. You have a right to make kids. And that seems almost human nature. That seems like the reason we're here is to make more of ourselves, right?
Well, that's how people have been conditioned. That's why you have men walking around speaking about spreading their fucking seed all over the place.
Well, in this case, it was the man and the woman, and they decided they were going to have kids, and that's their decision. All I'm saying is that there are a lot of people, poor, rich, blind, deaf, people with genetic conditions that they might give their children. I just think you got to really, like you said, Rich, in a situation where you're going to share something, do a bit of research. In a situation where you're going to make a whole human being, do a bit of research. It's the least you can do, you know? Anyway, all right. Thank you, Rich. I think that clip was very illustrative of the problem in sort of leftist media and also among people who are easily offended all the time. We'll chat to you next week.
Thanks, guys. Have a great week.
Cool, thanks. I think I derailed his point there with mine. Rich was trying to make a very specific point, and I brought up this thing I saw last night. It just really upset me. Because these kids needed like 600,000 rand equipment then to be able to hear. And the whole show was really about
600,000 rand.
Yeah, look, don't get me wrong. Jeez. I think it's great that these two little deaf kids can now hear. There's essentially this machine that they attach to them, and that allows them to hear sound for the first time. It's terrific. The parents couldn't afford this. They needed a donation in order to make this happen. But during the story, the piece that it seems everybody else missed and that bothered me so much is that the mother knew and the father knew before they had the kids that they could have been born 50%. That's betting on black or red in the casino.
Mm.
And you take that gamble with your kid's life and then three kids, two of them are deaf? Doesn't seem right to me. I don't think that's right. For what it's worth. And I'm not going to go around and sterilize people. Mm. And I'm not saying I'm the one who gets to decide. But as a parent, you should be the one thinking this through really carefully. You want a kid that badly? Adopt a kid. How about that? There are lots of kids out there that don't have love, that don't have parents. If this isn't about you, adopt a kid.
It's about them though, Gareth. It's about their genetic material living through their kids.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to leave it alone, too. It's none of my business. Somebody donated this stuff. Good for them, too. And I hope those parents and their kids grow up and they're happy. I mean, I hope that they're a happy family. Who wouldn't wish that for them? But it got me thinking last night, and it really bothered me. I was like, you're a really irresponsible person. CliffCentral.com